ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवती ते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। So in the fourth chapter, we have finished up to 29 shlokas. And the last few shlokas, 8 or 9 shlokas, have dealt with yagna, the yagna spirit, and how all our actions can be yagna. The traditional meaning of yagna is offering samagri into the fire, whereas the Panditji is chanting mantras. But Bhagavan Sri Krishna in this fourth chapter talks about yagna, where individuals get together and giving up their individual differences, they work for the benefit of society. So any activity that is done by an individual or by a community without I, me and my for the benefit of all is considered yagna. And also Bhagavan expands the meaning of yagna not only as offerings to society but even within me, all the senses, whatever I'm seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, whatever I'm holding, moving, speaking, all those activities should, when they are controlled, can become yagnas. When my activities are pure for the benefit of all and for the my own spiritual growth can be yagna. Even eating can be yagna when you offer the food, which is God, to Bhagwan, that is within me. So every activity can become a yagna when it is offered to the higher. And even prana and apana, even the intake and out breath can become a yajna when it is done, that I'm nourishing the God within with my breath, with my food, with all my intake. And also the today we'll talk about our favorite yajna, which is diet, which is eating, how that can become an offering to Bhagwan. So chapter 4, shloka number 30. Apare niyata haraha. Pranan praneshu juhvati. Sarve pyete yajna vidaha. Yajna kshapita kalma shaha. Together, apare niyata haraha. Pranan praneshu juhvati. Sarve pete yajna vidaha. Yajna kshapita kalma shaha. So we have the points on the board and also on the WhatsApp, on the Gita WhatsApp. We have these points. If you are not on the WhatsApp, let me know. We'll add you where you can see the points that we are covering in today's talks. So it says apare, others. So Bhagwan is giving us how different people practice this yajna. So what is another yajna? Niyata ahara, controlling the diet. And pranan praneshu juhvati. And they control the pranas with the diet. And we'll talk about that. They offer the prana in the apana. That means the diet is offered also used for controlling the five pranas. And sarve api ete yajna vidaha. So ete, so these people, sarve, who are the knower of yajna? Who are the people who are knowers of yajna? Those who have practiced all these yajnas that we mentioned, the 12 yajnas, where the intake, the excretion, the control of the senses, control of the mind, control of the activities, charity, you know, those are all yajnas, tapaha, yoga, all those yajnas, swadhyaya, the self-study where you remove your ignorance with the study of knowledge. And we'll talk a little about that also, which is called Jnana Yajna, which Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda popularized when in the early, late 50s and early 60s, he started teaching. Actually, he started in the early 50s, but this term Jnana Yajna, he called it Gita Jnana Yajna. When he did all these Gita chapters, discourses, he said, you are sacrificing your ignorance in the fire of knowledge. So all these yajnas are those who know it, then their sins are destroyed in the fire of the yajna. Kshapita kalma shaha. So how do the sins get destroyed? So we'll see that the diet has a great emphasis in our Vedic literature. Our Vedic rishis always talked about diet. That was, even though the topic was spirituality, but they realized and they understood how important is diet in the development of the mind, in the spiritual growth. And they had a precise knowledge of vitamins, nutrition. Great, if you see the scriptures, how very well they have described every detail. And not only that, but every member of society, depending on the type of job he or she is doing, they were assigning specific diet. So somebody who is a teacher, you know, what they call Brahmana, not by caste, but by who is a teacher or a spiritual master or a professor. Such people need specific diets for the brain. Then there are the leaders, you know, the warriors, the police, the army, the you know, the kshatriyas. So they have specific diets. And all that has been described in our Vedas. specific diets for thinkers, specific diets for warriors and leaders. Then business people who know who sit in one place and do business, what they should eat. And workers, you know, those who work hard in the fields, in the factories. So the rishis had precise diets prescribed for everybody. And the purpose of that was that the person A should remain healthy, B should do the work properly, correctly, and ultimately through his or her work, I should grow spiritually. And in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 17th chapter, Bhagwan will tell us in more detail about sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic diet. So, what is a tamasic diet? I'll just cover in very brief. It will come in the 17th chapter. Tamasic diet is anything that is intoxicating, you know, alcohol, you know, cigarettes, all those things. And also food that is very old, that has been kept for a long period of time, and which is stale. Like, for example, you know, in North India, they make kanji, you know, where they put these carrots for several days, soak it, and they eat it. It's tasty, but it's very tamasic because it's been sitting. And all other, a lot of the fermented foods that are kept for a long period of time are considered tamasic. So tamasic is anything that is old or that is intoxicating. What is rajasic? Rajasic food is that which is passionate, you know, which gives more passion. Tamasic food makes us lazy. You know, if you have eaten a very heavy meal in the afternoon, then you want to sleep. You don't want to do anything. Rajasic food makes us active. So what is rajasic food? Food that is very spicy, very hot, very, very pungent, you know, a lot of masalas and flavors. I mean, they taste very good. All the restaurants, you know, they do that. They put all these extra things in the food. But that kind of food stimulates our mind, makes our mind overactive. So that is rajasic food, which increases my activity. And what is sattvic food? So Bhagwan says that which is eaten within 2 hours of cooking, that is sattvic. And Gurudev, I remember, used to, in the, I remember when I was a teenager, I used to listen to him, and fridge had just come out. So in his Kerala accent, fridge, fridge, you know, he would keep criticizing because everything we put in the fridge, and days and weeks and months later, we are still eating. So anything that is fresh, anything that is easily digestible, that has ghee in it, you know, that is lubricating, lubricates your intestine. So food that is fresh, that is limited quantity, that is not overeaten, and that is healthy, that is nutritious. And that's why, like, fruits and vegetables are considered healthy. Can close the door. Because they are fresh, you know, fresh fruits, vegetables, and food that is also easy to digest. And we find that when we eat such food, then obviously, you know, our brain is more alert, we are able to function, and our mind becomes higher. And obviously, you know, non-vegetarian food is definitely tamasic, or maybe a little bit of rajas, it gives you energy, but it is a very tamasic because the animal has eaten the plant, and then the animal is killed, or the bird or the fish, and then it's being eaten frozen, so it is highly tamasic. So that is the, and what we consider as junk food should be thrown in the junk. You know, anything that is a junk in the house, what did we do? What did we do? We gave it to Salvation Army or throw it. So same way, junk food should be avoided and eat good food. And how does it help our pranas? How does it help our pranas, this diet? So they say we have five pranas: prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. Prana is the intake, apana is the excretion, not only of food, but of breath and everything. And vyana is the circulatory system, samana is the digestive system, and udana is the system that expels the subtle body at the time of death, carries it to the higher worlds. And udana is also comes in a little bit in effect when we are sneezing or vomiting, forcefully expelling, but mostly Udana works to expel the subtle body. So when we eat healthy, our digestion is good. So prana is good, apana excretion is good, samana, the digestion is good, and also vyana. Vyana is the circulatory system. And all the cardiologists, the doctors, everybody knows that our circulatory system depends on diet. So they will say, you know, if your cholesterol is high, you should avoid these foods. If your sugar is high, you should avoid those foods. So all our five systems depend on diet. And there is a beautiful saying in the Chandogya Upanishad. It says, Ahara Shuddhau, Sattva Shuddhi, Sattva Shuddhau, Smriti. Smriti. So Ahara Shuddhau, Dhruva Smriti. So Ahara Shuddhau. So if your diet is pure, Sattva Shuddhi, your mind becomes pure. My diet is pure, my mind is pure. And if my mind is pure, then Dhruva Smriti, Sattva Shuddha, Dhruva Smriti, my memory becomes better. I'm able to think better. I'm able to recapitulate. I'm able to. People say, oh, I remember all the movie songs, you know, or I know the statistics of all the Indian cricketers, you know, how many centuries. That is good. But more important is to remember the spiritual truths, what we read in the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, what our rishis have given us. And when our mind is pure with a pure diet, then the mind is also able to promote our health. Because they say that when your mind is pure, then the body and the mind are connected. And it is said that people who meditate or when their mind becomes pure, they can actually direct the energy of the mind to a particular organ. Say if your shoulder is hurting or leg is hurting. And when you sit for meditation, when your mind is really quiet, you can actually direct energy to heal that part of the body. So we can do self-healing. That's why in our meditation, we also talk every Sunday morning about detach from the body and watch with your mind, watch the body. And then heal, you know, every part of the body can be healed. And so when all these yajnas are done, and the person who has the right knowledge of all these yajnas, we talked about the yajna of, you know, diet, the yajna of self-control, the yajna of controlling senses, organs of action, controlling the mind. And then Swadhyaya, when the study is done every morning and the ignorance is removed, then the pranayama. You know, pranayama can also be a yajna. When we breathe in and out, it should not be rapid, but it should be controlled, slow breathing. One should concentrate. Slowly, I should take a slight gap and slowly breathe out. Why is the gap? Because they say Bhagwan stays in the gaps. In the gap between the breath, when you stop your breath, pay attention, Bhagwan is there. Or when I'm speaking, the words are good, but the silence from which my words are coming, that is where Bhagwan is. So Bhagwan stays in the gaps between the words, the gaps between the breath, the gaps between the leaves. When you see the leaves, beautiful green leaf, pay attention to the gap. That's where Bhagwan is. Because when my mind, when my speech is silent, and my mind is silent, then the words that come out of that silence are from Bhagwan. So pay attention to that silence, and that can become a yajna. And how does it take away the sins? Because when I have wrong diet, then I will have wrong thoughts. When I have wrong thoughts, I will have wrong desires. When I have wrong desires, I will have wrong actions. So proper regulation, not only of this diet, but all the yajnas that we did, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, controlling the breath, controlling speech, not talking too much, not seeing, hearing, smelling, restricting our, surfing the net, the internet, the time on the phone, cutting it down. Those things take. And then also, what happens when your mind is agitated, over busy, then I'm doing all negative things. So when my mind is quiet, then such a mind is free of sin, free of vasanas. Because too much of activity, it increases my desires, increases my vasanas. So yajna kshapita kalmasha. So their sins are removed. And such a person who has controlled his diet, his or her diet intake, has the right knowledge, offers everything to the Lord, even eating, even food that I'm offering. Food is Bhagwan, and the one who is being nourished is Bhagwan. That's why Swamiji's always chant Brahmarpanam Brahma Havihi Brahmagnav Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samana. The food is Bhagwan, the one who has cooked is Bhagwan, the one who is eating is Bhagwan, and the one who is digesting is Bhagwan, the one who is nourished is Bhagwan. So by eating also, I can take my mind to God. So that's the beautiful 30th shloka, which talks about the importance of diet and why diet is a very important part of yajna. We'll go to chapter 4, shloka number 31. Can follow on the phone, or if you have the book, you can follow with the book. Yajna shishtamrita yanti brahma sanatanam nayam lokostya yajnasya Uto nyak guru sattama Together, yajna yanti brahma sanatanam nayam lokostya yajnasya Uto nyak guru sattama So, guru sattama, he's calling Arjuna as Guru Sattama, the last word. Guru Sattama means the best among the gurus. See, the Kuru dynasty was a very noble dynasty. A lot of great kings and great people had appeared in this dynasty, but he's calling Arjuna the best among the Kuru family or dynasty. Why? Because Arjuna was a very pure-hearted person. The word Arjuna comes from Arjava. He was very straightforward. He had no double things. What is in his mind, what is in his speech and his action was perfectly coordinated. So he was very straightforward. He was not dishonest. He was pure-hearted. He was willing to study. That's why he approaches Bhagwan when he has doubt. See, you and me, when we have doubt, we don't know where to go. But he had the benefit of having Bhagwan himself. And for us, the Bhagavad Gita is Bhagwan's word. So when we have any doubt, we should approach Bhagavad Gita. So he approaches Bhagwan for this knowledge, and Bhagwan gives him this knowledge. So not only physically, he was the best warrior of his time, probably of, in history, there probably has not been a great archer as Arjuna, except of course Bhagwan Sri Ram, but in Arjuna's whole dynasty and all that, there has never been a great archer. Karna was probably the closest to him, and Karna also was his brother. So Arjuna is addressed as Guru Sattama. Yajna Shishta Amrita Bhujaha. Yajna Shishta, leftovers of Yajna, Amrita Bhujaha. One who eats the Amrit, that is, Bhuja means eater, one who eats the Amrit left over from Yajna. We'll talk about what is that. And where do they go? Such people, yanti brahma sanatanam. They go to the supreme Brahman, to the highest. And he says, Now Bhagwan is coming down to our level. Na ayam lokah, in this world asti ayajnasya, one who does not practice the yajnas, this world is not for him. Kutaha anya kuru sattama. O Arjuna, what about to talk about the higher world? So one who does not live with the yajna spirit or practice yajnas, this world is not for him, and neither is the higher worlds. So, Yajna-shishta, what is left over from the yajnas? So, in the, like when the Panditji is offering, fire, we are doing a yajna, say, for you're starting a new building, or your child is born, or for a marriage, or for, a new, you're building a new, or like we do our Sudarshan yajna, in July of each year, where we invoke Bhagwan's blessings for this Chinmaya mission. That is our anniversary. So these yajnas, when we do, there is always prasad, right? One is the black, ash, and they put on the forehead. But also that there is always a prasad. So that prasad that is eaten by the devotees takes them to the higher. When you eat with that attitude, now yanti brahma sanatanam, it does not take them directly to Brahman. No, we'll talk about what does it do, where does it take them. We'll mention that in the rest of our talk. And in our case, okay, this I understand, the prasad from the yajna, but how about when I am doing pranayama, or when I am doing diet control, or when I'm controlling the senses or the mind, or when I'm getting knowledge, studying, listening, hearing. Then the result of that yajna is called the yajna prasad. So by this knowledge, if my knowledge improves and then my actions improve, that is the result of the yajna. That's why Gurudev used to call his Gita talks Gita Gyana Yajna, where when a person coming to listen to Puja Gurudev, his ignorance would be sacrificed in the fire of knowledge. And so he always called all his Gita Gyana Yajnas. All that. So when I am sacrificing my ignorance and I'm doing these yajnas, and what is the result of that? My mind is purified, my body is healthy, my thinking is improved, my breathing is improved, and I'm avoiding sin. See, when you live a life of self-control, then you don't overindulge, overdoing. So all those yajna results lead to integration of mind. What is integration of mind? Where the person is properly living in the right understanding. I heard a very beautiful story recently. Thought I should share it. So there was this older lady who was, she lived in this small village, and there was a river. So she went to the river to get water. And she had this little container that she filled the water. She suddenly saw at the bottom of the river very precious stone worth, lakhs of rupees, very, very precious, very expensive stone. She said, how did this appear? And she knew it, she could tell. So she took that stone and put it in her bag. And then she had some food because she had, was going somewhere, and she was coming going to some place. So she had some food, water, and this very precious stone in her bag. As she went a little further, she saw this young man who looked extremely tired and looking very miserable. And so she said, "What are you okay? What's wrong?" He says, "I'm very thirsty. I have been traveling. I have no water. Do you have any water?" So she pours some water, gives it to him. Then he says, "Do you also have any food? I haven't eaten in many days." So very kindly, out of her, food, she gives half to him, and he looks in her bag and he sees that precious stone, and he immediately recognizes that this is very expensive. So he asks the lady, "Can you give me that stone?" The lady takes it out and just gives it to him. And he said, "Wow, I got this stone. Now I don't have to work for the rest of my life. So rich I am." And the lady goes on and he goes on. It's not that the lady didn't know. She knew what the stone was worth. She just didn't. So this man, young man, goes. He's very happy, you know. 2, 3 days later, he comes back. And he comes back to that same village and he says, I need to find that lady. So he asks around in the village, you know, describes her. They said, oh, yeah, there is this old lady. She lives in that small house in one corner of the village. So he goes and knocks on her door and she comes out and she recognizes him. And he says, I don't want this stone. Gives the stone back to her. She's surprised. He says, you don't want this stone? He says, no. He says, I want what you have that made you give away this stone willingly. See how much integration, how much wisdom she should have. He said, that's what I want. I don't want this stone. So the point is that when we do our actions with a yajna spirit, then our mind becomes integrated, our mind becomes pure, where our actions are pure. And that's what we can learn from this story. And as we said, yajna can be at various levels. It can be at the physical level with diet, exercise, you know, healthy eating. It can be at the mental level where you have loving thoughts for all. That is also yajna. At the intellectual level where we get the right knowledge from the guru, from the teacher, from the scriptures, from the books. And at the spiritual level, where all my actions are dedicated to Lord. And we can see in these 12 yajnas, Bhagwan has covered all. He has covered physical yajna, mental, intellectual, the pranas, the spirituality, everything Bhagwan has covered in these 12 yajnas. And the idea last week also we talked about, it is like a bazaar, super bazaar. You know, you go to a market, you don't buy all the things out of things, you pick what you need. So same way there are 12 yajnas. So as many of those that I can practice and that suit me. So maybe I should, you know, fast once a week. Or maybe every Monday if I'm a Shiva Bhakta or on Ekadashi, then I should do some pranayam in the morning before meditation, doing some anulom vilom. We always teach people how to do the breathing. I can just go over very briefly those who don't know. Anulom vilom, we can do every morning. If you put your two fingers above your eyebrows, the index and the middle finger, and then with the thumb, you close the right nostril. With the ring finger, you can close the left nostril. So you can, maybe all of you can practice that also. So just keep your two fingers above the forehead. And with the thumb, you control the right nostril. And with the ring finger, the left nostril. So you close the with the thumb and breathe in and out through the left. Slow breath. And then pause. In between inspiration and expiration, and between expiration and inspiration, slowly breathe in and out. So you can do 5 times or 9 times. Then you close the left nostril with your ring finger, and then use the thumb to release the right nostril, and breathe 5 times or 9 times in and out through the right nostril. So in and out through the left, in and out through the right. And then alternate in through the left, out through the right, in through the right, out through the left. So if you do this 5 times through the left, 5 times through the right, or 9 times if you have more time, I try to do it 9 times. And then alternate 9 times, then what you will find that at the, this takes only about less than 5 minutes. If you do it slowly and pay attention to the gap between inspiration and expiration and expiration and inspiration, your mind will become instantly quiet, becomes very peaceful, and you feel the inner silence. So this pranayam that our rishis, see, then there are difficult pranayams, you know, Bhastrika and Kapalbhati. Those should not be done without a guru. You have to have a teacher. But this simple breathing, anybody can do. So this is what I try to teach, and this is what I do before my meditation. So if you do it in the morning, that beautiful yajna will not only will it will clear out your lungs, which you have been sleeping all night, not breathing. So doing a short pranayama. So practice some of these yajnas, then swadhyaya before going to bed, read some good book, some good literature, attend discourses. And if you go to Chinmaya channel, there are talks by all our Chinmaya mission swamis. And then living a life of self-control. My senses I should control. I should not talk too much, not speak too much, not eat too much, not see too much, not hear too much, gossip, wrong things. So when you live that, then at all levels you are practicing this yajnas. And what that does, when the mind is clean, then a person's surroundings are also clean. Like if you go to somebody's house and the closet, there are clothes thrown all over, and you ask, that lady has problem finding her clothes. She says, oh, ek ka blouse hai, ek ka sari hai. And they never can find, because everything, or a youngster, you tell him his desk is so messy, papers thrown all over, and you say, oh, I have an ex important project I have to do. Where is my paper? And he's searching up. Or car, some people's cars are so dirty, desk is so dirty, closet. So when your mind is clean, then your surroundings are clean. So this helps. And they say that in this world also, to progress, you have to live a life of self-control. If you want to become, say, you go to medical school or engineering or law, you have to pay attention. You have to focus. You have to concentrate. Because all these professions, the knowledge is not easy to study all the laws, to study engineering, computers, medicine, all the diseases. And so all need self-control. If you're, sleeping too much, not waking up, not going to class on time, you'll not be successful in your job. If you don't show up on time, you show up late, you get a project, you do it half-heartedly. That's why Bhagavan says, Na ayam loko asti ayajnyase. One who does not practice these yajnas, does not live a life of self-control, this world is not for him. People, you ask somebody, how is that person? A person is lazy. He doesn't do his job. He doesn't work. He has no self-control. He talks too much. He comes when he feels like. He doesn't come. You go to his desk. It's such a mess. You ask him to find papers, you can never find anything on his desk. And he will say, oh, okay, I'll look for it. And then it takes him half an hour, 1 hour, and the boss is waiting for a particular important project, and he cannot find the paper. And so we find that those who live a life of self-control, it's not only in the world it helps, but also helps in the spiritual journey. So Bhagavan says, practice these yajnas with the idea that my life, I have to improve. I have to improve my physical behavior, my mental, my diet. And also, obviously, when your body is healthy, when you're eating right kind of food, then obviously your actions will be better too. And also, how does it help in the higher world? Actually, there was a song in the film, some of you may remember. It says, Samsar se bhage firte ho, Bhagwan ko tum kya paoge, is lok ko bhi apna na sake, us lok mein bhi pachtaoge. So she says, if you are not doing well in this life with dealing with people, you are running away from people, not helping anybody, then how do you think you will reach God? Because God is in all the people. You will not only be su not successful in this world, but also in the higher world. See, some of these poets come up with such beautiful, and this is a film song. I remember I was a little boy, probably 10, 12 years old. It came out around 1960s. And so the point is that to be successful in this world, you have to have self-control. To progress spiritually and go higher, so when your mind is pure, purity of mind leads to clarity of knowledge. My knowledge will be only clear if my mind is pure. Pure also means mind is not cluttered and not filled with anger, greed, jealousy, hatred. Because the more active my mind is, all these negative thoughts, these negative emotions come. So when my mind is pure, my body is healthy, my mind is pure, my intellect ideas are clear. Then I will go. So from the, as you purify your body, your actions, your emotions and your thoughts, you reduce your vasanas, V, and you progress towards Om, Bhagwan, the consciousness. So that is what they say. Purity of mind is very important. So practicing these 12 yajnas, again, you don't have to do all 12, but to some extent, we should see which one suits me. Maybe I'm talking too much, so maybe I should do that. Or maybe I am spending too much time on the internet, on the phone. That is my problem too. I always tell myself, you need to spend less time. But, you know, so one has to be very cautious. Where are we spending our time? And that lead to purity of mind, and that will help you to progress higher. So Yanti Brahma Sanatanam. So Bhagwan says that one who has purified his mind is ready for the highest knowledge of Brahman. So to study the Upanishads, that's why the students going towards to the rishis to study Upanishads, they stayed in a very quiet atmosphere with good air and fresh fruits and water and all that. So the idea was that that's how they will study. So we'll finish number 31. We'll do one more. I don't think we'll be able to do the fourth one, but we'll do number 32. There are a lot of important points in this, so I don't think we'll do number 33, even though it's on your WhatsApp and it's on the board, but we'll only do three today because there's a lot of material. So number 32. एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः तथा ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे ऑल टुगेदर एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः वितता ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे So the question is two questions. One is, Bhagwan, where can I find more information about these yajnas? And you have given us 12 yajnas. Do they all go to the same goal, or each one has a different goal? You think, will they take me to one, or will they take me to higher? So Bhagwan had briefly answered in the previous sloka that they will purify your mind and take you towards the higher. And for higher knowledge, you have to have self-control, control of your diet, your activity, all that. And secondly, where should we find more information? So Bhagwan says, Evam, in this way, Bahuvidha Yajnaha, many kinds of yajnas are there. And where are they? Vitata Brahmano Mukhe, they are scattered on the mouth of Brahman. And he says, Karma Jan Vidhi. Vidhi means know this to be Karma Jan, to be created out of karmas. Tan Sarvan, know all these yajnas are as a result of karma. And what is karma? We'll talk a little more detail today. We think karma is work, but there is so lot more in that. Karma jan vidhi tan sarvan, know all of them to be result of karma. And evam jnatva, having studied and known in this matter, vimokshyase, you will be free. So as we said, what is our goal? You know, in the worldly goal we have, you know, to have success in our profession, in our job, in our work, whatever work we are doing, either in the home or in the office or wherever. And I should accumulate wealth, and you know, my children should grow well, I should teach them, they should get better. So that is our worldly goal. And then our higher goal is spiritual upliftment. And one who has studied the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, that we, you know, we do Upanishad class every Tuesday at 12:30. Some of you log in, but it's available on Zoom. So the goal of the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, it's called Prasthan Trayi. There are three major sources of knowledge. One is Bhagavad Gita, one is Upanishads, and one is Brahma Sutras by Vedas. So these three are called Prasthan Trayi. These three are the highest sources of knowledge: Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, and Brahma Sutras. And it is said that all of these three take us to the highest. They tell us that your goal of life is not only worldly success, but the main purpose of human birth is to reach God, to know God, to attain enlightenment. In fact, that is the only purpose for which we have got the human body. To live, eat, procreate, and die. Yeah, even animals and birds do that. If I want to be better than animal or a bird, I have to know myself. I have to reach God. That is the most important goal. And where are they? Brahmano Mukhe means also the Vedas, because the Vedas came out of the mouth of God. So when they say mouth of God, means it scattered throughout the Vedas. So Bhagwan Sri Krishna, even though he was the Supreme Ishwara, he could have said, I tell you and you just have to practice these 12. Because I said so, and that would be enough for us. But Bhagwan says, not only I am saying, but they are there in the Vedas. So even Bhagwan Sri Krishna wants to quote the Vedas and say that this knowledge is in the Vedas. So it's not just, I'm just coming out. You know, sometimes one prophet comes and teaches. Our Sanatan Dharma is for thousands of years. So many rishis, so many Mahatma. So there is no one prophet. There is no one teacher. There is no one guru. It is series of gurus over thousands of years. That's why it is not called Hinduism. It is called Sanatan Dharma. Hindu was the name given to us. But our true nature, name of our faith is Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan means that which is beyond time. And what do karmas do? You know, karma jan vidhi. So karmas, pay attention. There are four things karmas can do. Apya, utpadya, samskarya, vikarya. Apya. Apya means to get. So karmas, our rishis were said, karmas, all karmas. There are thousands of karmas, right? All that we can, a scientist does, engineer does, a housewife does, a student does. And there are, we wake up, eat, drink, all so many karmas we do throughout the day. There are thousands of karmas. But Rishi says, actually, there are only four karmas. They were amazingly how they were able to divide everything. So one is apya. Apya means I get what I don't have. So what will karma do? Will give you what you don't have. So say you don't have a car, you earn money, and then you go buy a car. That is apya. I got a car, or I got money, or I... Then utpadya means to create. So something that was not there, I create. So I get money and build a house. Or a lady cooking, she collects all the, you know, dal and spices and water and salt and all that, and creates a vegetable or creates a dal or creates some. So that is utpadi. Or in a factory, you know, they collect products from everywhere and then they build an iPhone or they build a computer or they build a... So utpadya means I create. So that is two. Samskarya means I clean or purify. So I have this silver, you know, decorative item in my house, and over the years it gets all, you know, like black, it gets all the rust on it. So then I get this special polish and I polish it, and it becomes shiny again. So that is called samskarya, cleaning. And vikara means modifying. So I have some mud and I make a pot. That is vikara. So any karma you do has to come in these four categories. Think of anything you can do outside these four. Either you are getting something, you are creating something, you are purifying, or you are modifying. And it's amazing, you cannot think of an activity that doesn't do. Oh, so that's how beautifully our rishis, it's described in our Vedas, that only four things you can do with karma: either get, create, purify, or modify. And Bhagwan Shri Krishna mentions that. He says that those are the activities that can do with karma. So do these activities with a yagna spirit, not what I can get, but what I can give. And what do the Vedas, why they keep emphasizing the way? In fact, there was a Karpata Rishi. There was a Karpata Rishi. Karpata means the hand. So whatever, when he would go for bhiksha, whatever fit in his two hands, that's all he would eat once a day. He would go ask for bhiksha, and itna mil gaya, that's it, I'm done. And then he will eat it. He'll not say, I'll collect for next week or next day, or no. Whatever I got today, one time he will eat. So he was called Karpata, because Karpata Rishi, because that's all he would. So he describes this. He says that when there is a doubt between Puranas and Upanishads, Upanishad is higher, Vedas. Even if there is a doubt between Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, even though Bhagavad Gita is given by Bhagwan, but if there is a discrepancy, Upanishad is higher. So that's how. So the Upanishads, that is the glory of the, because the Bhagavad Gita is also summary of the Upanishads. Bhagwan is not just randomly given it, but that is the glory of our teachings. And they teach us Atindriya Vishu, Atindriya Vishaya. So that which is beyond the senses. Now, Upanishads will not teach us how to paint your car, or how to make your food, or how to do a math problem, or how to drive a car. They won't teach you that. But that which is beyond the senses, which the senses cannot see, the mind cannot think, the intellect. So all this body that perceives the object, mind feels the emotions, intellect thinks the thoughts, these are all worldly activities. Om is beyond all of those. Om is Bhagwan, it is consciousness. So Vedas take us to that Om, to that Brahman, which is Atindriya. Atindriya means beyond the senses. And they are the only authority. Again, Vedas, of course, means Upanishad, means also Bhagavad Gita, Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata. They all give this highest knowledge. It's not to put them down, but this Karpata Rishi Ji was saying that. But all of these scriptures take us to the highest. If you look at Bhagwan's Ram's life, and throughout Ramayana, there is so many beautiful teachings throughout Mahabharata. In our Puranas, again, Puranas were given for the level of the student. Some people like stories, so they were given Puranas. Some people want the highest knowledge, they were given Upanishads. Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was a warrior, and he at that time what he needed. So Vedas are the authority, just as in financial matters. What is the authority? Wall Street Journal. People who want to know about finance, they read the Wall Street Journal. People who want to know about medicine, they read the New England Journal of Medicine. That is the authority. So same way, Vedas are our authority when we want to go beyond this limited knowledge of this world. If you want to go beyond the world, go higher, study Vedas. And Vedas have all everything. They have the rituals. They have the upasanas, how to worship God, how to invoke God, and then the highest knowledge of the Upanishad. So based on the level of the student, they can do one, two, three, or they can progress. Do some rituals, do some puja, upasana. That should be done. One should not say, oh, since Upanishads are highest, I'm only going to study. No, if I am doing puja, I must continue to do puja. If I am doing rituals, I must do the rituals. But understand that they are not the final goal. Rituals take me to the highest knowledge. In fact, the Upanishad we are doing on Tuesday, 12:30 to 1:30, talks about the connection between rituals and Upanishads. And it's on the same Zoom link every Tuesday, 12:30 to 1:30. So this knowledge will take us to the higher, and knowing this, you will become free, the moksha say. What does Bhagwan mean by being free? We are free, right? I'm living in a free country. I can talk what I want. I can travel where I want, though it's changing now. The country is not becoming as free as it used to be, but that's a different story. I won't get into politics. But the point is that what is true freedom? See, our freedom is that we are attached. We are bound to things or position or power or people or situations. If I have this situation, I'm happy. If I don't have, I'm unhappy. If this person loves me, I'm happy. If they don't love me, I don't know. Or I have this much money, I'm happy. This object, if I don't lose it, I'm unhappy. So our happiness depends on people, situations, objects, job, positions. So that is called bondage. I am bound. But a wise person is free. He says, if this person, I think I have it, it's good. If I don't have it, I'm still fine. So the ability to remain free under all situations, with all people, with all objects. And that's why you look at these rishis or look at these Mahatmas, they have nothing. Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda had nothing to his name, not even a house, car, room, nothing, computer, nothing. All these Chinmaya Mission Mahatmas, they don't retire with like big houses and all. They retire with nothing because they don't own anything. Even the room they live in is given by the mission. So these sannyasis are happy without everything. So actually, there's another story very quickly I can tell. So there was this Mahatma who used to go every day to a shopping mall, and he will walk by and he will laugh. So this shopkeeper says, Mahatma ji, you come every day, you look at our stores and you laugh. Why do you laugh? He says, I walk around and say to myself how happy I am without all these things. See, we become happy with getting things. He says, I'm happy without. So that's how. So yat jnatva vimoksha se. So this is the freedom that we have. That I am not that you give up everything and go to the forest, but not depending on things or people or situations for my happiness. So here we have seen how these yajnas, we started with diet, how important that is, how it purifies the mind. And then as the result of the yajna, my mind becomes pure, integrated, and then I can study the highest. And then we talked about the various karmas, how they take me to the highest, and the importance of Vedas. So we'll end here. We have about 10 minutes. So if anybody would like to say anything, if you in brief, if you can summarize, if you would like in a couple of minutes, and then we'll open it to questions. Krishna can kind of summarize. If you would like to come, and you can do from here, just speak a little loud so people on the computer, Zoom also. If you come here, they'll be able to hear you on Zoom also. You can just speak a little loud here. Huh? You wrote it down. Okay.
So sacrifice not by offering external objects, but by surrendering their life, very life energies, thoughts, actions into the higher fire of self-discipline and knowledge. Such inner sacrifices born of sincerity bring about the greatest purification. So the rishis, what you mentioned, already knew what kind of diet is prescribed for each, food to, what kind of nourishment they need to get. And obviously the tamasic is something which is not suitable for our higher, going higher. And even rajasic also needs to be controlled to a certain extent. Those who taste, so then such inner sacrifices bring the sincerity, bring about the greatest purification. Those who taste the nectar of that sacrifice are freed from the sin and attain eternal peace with the union and with the Supreme. Without that sacrifice, however, one cannot live in true happiness, neither here in this world nor in the worlds beyond. Sacrifice in its various forms is the foundation of harmony with the divine law. Then know that the Vedas describe many kind of
Yes.
yagnas, each suited to a different temperament, whether it is through discipline, devotion, study, or service. All sacrifices arise from action. By understanding their essence and aligning with them, one is released from the bondage of the karma.
Right. Thank you. Very nice summary. Thank you so much. Helps us all to recapitulate. Anybody has any questions, any points you would like to add, or anything is you don't agree with or agree? Please feel free to unmute on Zoom. You can ask questions or add anything, or even in the audience here.
Question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned three sources of knowledges. One was Upanishad, second is Bhagavad Gita, and third is source of Brahma or
No,
voice of Brahma.
Brahma Sutra
Brahma Sutra.
was composed by Ved Vyas ji, where he again took the highest knowledge and gave it in a very short form. Sutra means two, three words. So not and there are many sutras. There are many sutras in this Brahma Sutra. So these short sutras, each one of them takes you to the highest, and that was composed by Ved Vyas ji. Ved Vyas ji, we believe, is an incarnation of Bhagavan Vishnu himself. And Ved Vyas ji, not only we owe a great debt of gratitude to Ved Vyas ji, because he, first of all, the Upanishads were scattered all over, the Vedas were scattered all over, there were various rishis, and over hundreds and thousands of years this knowledge has come in. So he traveled throughout the country and combined all this into four Vedas. And then very systematically he organized the Karma Kanda, the rituals, Upasanas, and then the Upanishads. And then so all these Upanishads, all that were, and then the Upanishads were put in particular Vedas. So very systematically, that which was scattered all over, he put it. So that was his greatest contribution, that otherwise we would not get all this, it would have been lost. And then the second is, then he took the essence, the highest of the Upanishads, and made them into very brief sutras. But the Brahma Sutras are not easy to read or understand. We don't say, I'll just read it in brief. You have to know the Upanishad, because he will quote in that Upanishad, this is said like that. So that was, is the, also the highest knowledge. So the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, and the Brahma Sutras. So Bhagavad Gita is easier for people like you and me to understand. Then the Upanishads are higher, and then the Brahma Sutra is the highest. So these are the three.
Vedas, are they combined called as Vedas or Vedas is a different category?
Vedas are all the religious teachings of Sanatana Dharma, and then there are four Vedas: Rig Veda, Sam Veda, Yajur Veda, and Atharva Veda. And each Veda has three portions. One is the Karma Kanda, the rituals, and the second is Upasanas, and third is the Upanishads. And each Veda focuses maybe out of them on more things, like Sama Veda talks about, is all musical. Musical verses are there in that. Then Atharva Veda, like that, the Rig Veda is the most ancient, with the highest knowledge. And then some of the Vedas deal with, Atharva Veda deals with sciences and medicines and all. So their emphasis may be different, but all of them, their goal is to take you to the highest. And so that is how the Vedas are. Actually, there is a book called Hindu Culture. It's in the library if you would like to buy that, by Swami Tejomayanand ji, where he has given all these terms very beautifully explained, what is Vedas and what is that. but basically four Vedas. And Vedas are not one book, but in that Veda, there are all these rituals, all the rituals, all the pujas, all the upasanas, and then all the Upanishads. So, like that. I hope that answers your
That
question.
answer, it just perplexes me that one lifetime would be too short to understand all these different theories and
Yeah, so that's why they say Bhagavad Gita is good, because Bhagavad Gita is easy for in this modern age. It is the best. It is called the manual of living. You want to live your life, study Bhagavad Gita. Study it, apply it. And then the Upanishads and all are good, which just takes you beyond the Bhagavad Gita to who am I really. Directly they take you. Bhagavad Gita covers it, but Bhagavad Gita also has how to live the life, how to do karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, meditation. Everything is covered in Bhagavad Gita, including diet and behavior and all. So Bhagavad Gita probably is the best for us. And then Upanishads for additional. Brahma Sutra is for a PhD students. Even I have not studied Brahma. Some of the Upanishads we have covered, the Tuesday class. Thank you. Any other questions? Anybody on Zoom?
I would like to just when you said about Sanatana Dharma.
Right.
So the one thing I recently was reading about was the Jyotirlinga of the Somnath Temple.
Yes.
So the Jyotirlinga was actually a 3 feet Jyotirlinga original. It was a levitating Jyotirlinga, meaning that there's nothing. So it was just levitating 3 feet, but 2 feet above ground, it was levitating. So in 1,000 years back, when Muhammad invaded, he invaded the Somnath Temple about 17 times, and 18th time they broke that actual Jyotirlinga. Some fragments of that were collected by some people, and those are called Agni. They don't even come out of the house. They just cook their own food, their own stuff. So they preserved that. And then in 2024, Sri, no, in, yeah, but in like 100 years back, I think. Sri Kanchi Kamakota, the Paramachari, revealed that these fragments are there available, but they will be available after 100 years, which actually came to push now. And I was watching a video, you can watch on the Google. But those Jyotirlingas are like little things right now. They are in the Swami Ravishankar's ashram in Bangalore. So normally, a magnet has a north pole and a south pole. This one has the magnetic center. So it defies the modern physics. I don't know how it is. They think that it is not even from this. And put that in how we wrote it. So that is there on the Google.
Thank you.
That beautiful thing. I think it. Now they're going to do Prana Pratishtha back in.
Thank you. Gary, you have a question or comment?
Just very short. I'm sure he did, but did Guruji write Bhashya on the Brahma Sutras?
Who?
Guruji, Swami Chinmayananda?
Swami Shankaracharya ji wrote the Bhashya on the Brahma Sutras, and then there is an English commentary on that, yes.
Oh, okay. So Swami Chinmayananda did write on the Brahma Sutras.
Don't think he wrote on the Brahma Sutras. The Brahma Sutra that I have is a commentary by some other Acharya. I don't think
Oh.
Mayananda ji wrote. He wrote on all the major Upanishads and
Yeah.
the Gita, but I don't think so. I haven't come across it. I can look it up, but the
Okay.
Acharya ji wrote Bhashya on the Brahma Sutras, but then there is an English commentary that I have, and some of them have written. ओम सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः, सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः, सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु, मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत्। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। थैंक यू वेरी मच। हरि ओम।